Gildan Media presents Your Coach in a Box. Affordable, mind-enriching programs.
The Kybalion by Three Initiates. The masterwork of esoteric wisdom for living with power and purpose. Abridged and introduced by Mitch Horowitz for the Condensed Classics Library. Narrated by Mitch Horowitz. To Hermes Trismegistus, known by the ancient Egyptians as the Great Great and Master of Masters, this little volume of Hermetic teachings is reverently dedicated. Preface. Why the Kybalion Matters. The short book called The Kybalion, published in 1908, is probably the most popular and, in my estimation, the most important occult work of the 20th century. The book is rivaled in significance only by a much longer and very different work, mainly P. Hall's Magisterial Encyclopedia Arcana, The Secret Teachings of All Ages, which appeared 20 years later. The landscape of mythical and esoteric philosophies that the scholar Hall curated, illustrated, and documented in his volume are, in a sense, distilled into their practical philosophical essentials in the precise guidebook, The Kybalion, written under the pseudonymous byline of Three Initiates. As I've written elsewhere and will not cover in any great detail here, Three Initiates was one of several pseudonyms used by Chicago publisher, lawyer, and New Thought philosopher William Walker Atkinson, whom historical and documentary sources have identified as the book's sole author. Atkinson was also its publisher at his Yogi Publication Society, a long-time and widely loved occult press. But unveiling the mystery of the book's authorship in no way detracts from its scope and achievement. The greatness of the Kybalion is that Atkinson successfully captures and makes relevant for modern seekers elements of the late ancient Greek-Egyptian philosophy called Hermeticism. Hermeticism grew out of the intellectual ferment of the city of Alexandria in the decades immediately following Christ. In the closing generations of Egyptian antiquity, a diffuse collection of Greek writers who were part of the Hellenic ruling class that presided over the fading empire, encountered the priesthoods, temple orders, and initiatory religions of Egypt's dissipating spiritual culture. Using Greek literary form, these scribes produced a variety of dialogues attributed to the man-god Hermes Trismegistus, the honorific title of thrice greatest Hermes, which the Greeks bestowed upon the Egyptian god of intellect, Thoth, whom they venerated above their own Hermes. These unsigned tracts became broadly known as the Hermetica. When rediscovered and translated by Renaissance scholars, the Hermetic texts, covering philosophic, magical, alchemical, and occult ideas, formed an essential part of the Renaissance outlook and shaped elements of scientific and rational thought associated with the Age of Enlightenment, an era that would soon relegate Hermeticism to the fringes of history, treating it as little more than a curio of late Greek mystical thought. But the Hermetica represents far more than that, a fact Atkinson understood and placed on display in the Kybalion. History, especially religious history, is an admixture of cross-currents, frictions, and influences. The value of the Hermetica is that it preserves a sample of Egyptian thought enfolded within Greek literary style and intermingled with Neoplatonic and Hellenic philosophy. This is of immense importance since our insight into ancient Egyptian thought, which was often passed on through oral tradition or encoded in hieroglyphs and myths, is limited. Indeed, until very recently, we possessed few serviceable translations of the Hermetic literature, which was neglected after the Renaissance. In the Kybalion, Atkinson expertly and artfully, using the few Victorian-era translations available to him, summarized the metaphysical psychology of the Hermetica and combined it with his own insights into New Thought, or what William James termed the religion of healthy-mindedness. The occult revival of the late 19th century and the New Thought flowering of Atkinson's own era provided the writer-publisher a perfect moment to reinterpret Hermetic ideas for a popular audience. Hermeticism is not exactly the religious ancestor to New Thought. The paucity of translations and the rural surroundings of most of America's New Thought pioneers placed these ideas off their path. Early New Thoughters were largely independent investigators and reached their insights about the mind's causative abilities chiefly through self-experiment. But aspects of Hermeticism do represent a distant historical parallel to New Thought, especially Hermeticism's core idea that a great mind of creation brought all things into being, and that this same creative mental faculty dwells in all men, beings the higher mind created not only in its own image, but to function in its own likeness. Your mind is God the Father. They are not divided from one another, for their union is life, says the Hermetica. That statement would be at home in any New Thought book. Atkinson brilliantly summarizes the possibilities and limits of the mind's power for earthbound men and women. If it were somehow possible for contemporary metaphysical seekers to reach back in time and have an exchange with the ancient Hermeticists, something like the Kybalion is probably as good an estimation as we can venture of what would appear. I have reread the Kybalion many times and encourage all who encounter these words to do so. But I have created this shortened version for several reasons. Brief as the original book is, its opening chapters present a detailed casebook in the nature of mental causation and the immaterial basis of reality, ideas that are perhaps more readily accepted today than in Atkinson's generation, and some readers may find his lawyerly style of argumentation a barrier to entry. That barrier has been somewhat eased in this abridgment, but without sacrificing any of his ideas. I have also shortened some of Atkinson's more speculative investigations, and I think he would have agreed that they were such, into the figurative nature of various corresponding planes of reality. I have also reduced the verbiage of certain arguments in which he restated, as any good lawyer would, certain key premises. The result, I hope, is an abridgment that retains the overall mission and, above all, the practicality of Atkinson's original. This digest-sized edition is not a substitute for the original, but it is an excellent entry point for the newcomer and, perhaps most importantly, a way for longtime readers and lovers of the book to re-experience or remind themselves of key points. Most importantly, it falls to you, the reader and listener, to enact and experience these ideas in your life. For otherwise, the book counsels, the Hermetic teachings will be as words, words, words to you. Mitch Horowitz. Introduction. We take great pleasure in presenting to the attention of students and investigators of the secret doctrines this little work based upon the world-old Hermetic teachings. The purpose of this work is not the enunciation of any special philosophy or doctrine, but rather is to give the students a statement of truth that will serve to reconcile the many bits of occult knowledge that they may have acquired, but which are apparently opposed to each other and which often serve to discourage the beginner in the study. Our intent is not to erect a new temple of knowledge, but rather to place in the hands of the student a master key with which he may open the many inner doors in the Temple of Mystery through the main portals he has already entered. There is no portion of the occult teachings possessed by the world which have been so closely guarded as the fragments of the Hermetic teachings which have come down to us over the tens of centuries that have elapsed since the lifetime of its great founder, Hermes Trismegistus, the scribe of the gods, who dwelt in old Egypt in the days when the present race of men was in its infancy. contemporary with Abraham, and, if the legends be true, an instructor of that venerable sage, Hermes was and is the great central sun of occultism, whose rays have served to illumine the countless teachings which have been promulgated since his time. All the fundamental and basic teachings embedded in the esoteric teachings of every race may be traced back to Hermes. The original truths taught by him have been kept intact in their original purity by a few men in each age who followed the Hermetic custom and reserved their truth for the few who were ready to comprehend and master it. From lip to ear, the truth has been handed down among the few. There have always been initiates in each generation in the various lands of the earth who kept alive the sacred flame of the Hermetic teachings. These men have never sought popular approval nor numbers of followers. They are indifferent to these things, for they know how few there are in each generation who are ready for the truth, or who would recognize it if it were presented to them. They reserve the strong meat for men, while others furnish the milk for babes. In this little work, we have endeavored to give you an idea of the fundamental teachings of the Kabbalion, striving to give you the working principles, leaving you to apply them yourselves rather than attempting to work out the teaching in detail. If you are a true student, you will be able to work out and apply these principles. If not, then you must develop yourself into one, for otherwise, the Hermetic teachings will be as words, words, words to you. Three Initiates. Chapter 1. The Hermetic Philosophy. The lips of wisdom are closed, except to the ears of understanding. The Kabbalion. From old Egypt have come the fundamental esoteric and occult teachings, which have so strongly influenced the philosophies of all races, nations, and peoples for several thousand years. Egypt, the home of the pyramids and the Sphinx, was the birthplace of the hidden wisdom and mystic teachings. From her secret doctrine, all nations have borrowed. India, Persia, Chaldea, Media, China, Japan, Assyria, ancient Greece and Rome, and other ancient countries partook liberally at the Feast of Knowledge, which the Hierophants and masters of the land of Isis so freely provided for those who came prepared to partake of the great store of mystic and occult lore which the masterminds of that ancient land had gathered together. Among these great masters of ancient Egypt, there once dwelt one whom the masters hailed as the Master of Masters. This man, if man indeed he was, dwelt in Egypt in the earliest days. He was known as Hermes Trismegistus. He was the father of the occult wisdom, the founder of astrology, the discoverer of alchemy. The details of his life are lost to history, owing to the lapse of the years, though several of the ancient countries disputed with each other in their claims to the honor of having furnished his birthplace, and this thousands of years ago. The date of his sojourn in Egypt in his last incarnation on this planet is not now known, but it has been fixed at the early days of the oldest dynasties of Egypt, long before the days of Moses. The Egyptians deified Hermes and made him one of their gods under the name of Thoth. Years later, the people of ancient Greece also made him one of their many gods, calling him Hermes, the god of wisdom. The Egyptians revered his memory for many centuries, calling him the scribe of the gods, and bestowing upon him distinctively his ancient title Trismegistus, which means the thrice great. In the early days, there was a compilation of certain basic Hermetic doctrines passed on from teacher to student, which was known as the Kabbalion, the exact significance and meaning of the term having been lost for several centuries. This teaching, however, is known to many to whom it has descended from mouth to ear on and on throughout the centuries. Its precepts have never been written down or printed so far as we know. It was merely a collection of maxims, axioms, and precepts which were non-understandable to outsiders, but which were readily understood by students after the axioms, maxims, and precepts had been explained and exemplified by the Hermetic initiates to their neophytes. These teachings really constituted the basic principles of the art of Hermetic alchemy, which, contrary to the general belief, dealt in the mastery of mental forces rather than material elements, the transmutation of one kind of mental vibrations into others instead of the changing of one kind of metal into another. The legends of the philosopher's stone, which would turn base metal into gold, was an allegory relating to the Hermetic philosophy, readily understood by all students of true Hermeticism. In this little book, of which this is the first lesson, we invite our students to examine into the Hermetic teachings as set forth in the Kabbalion and as explained by ourselves, humble students of the teachings, who, while bearing the title of initiates, are still students at the feet of Hermes, the Master. The original maxims, axioms, and precepts of the Kabbalion are printed herein in quotation marks. Our own work is printed in the regular way in the body of the work. We trust that the many students to whom we now offer this little work will derive as much benefit from the study of its pages as have the many who have gone on before. In the words of the Kabbalion, "Where fall the footsteps of the Master, the ears of those ready for his teaching open wide." The Kabbalion. When the ears of the student are ready to hear, then cometh the lips to fill them with wisdom. The Kabbalion. So that according to the teachings, the passage of this book to those ready for the instruction will attract the attention of such as are prepared to receive the teaching. And likewise, when the pupil is ready to receive the truth, then will this little book come to him or her. Such is the law. The Hermetic principle of cause and effect in its aspect of the law of attraction will bring lips and ear together, pupil and book in company. Chapter 2. The Seven Hermetic Principles. The principles of truth are seven. He who knows these, understandingly, possesses the magic key before whose touch all the doors of the temple fly open. The Kabbalion. The seven Hermetic principles upon which the entire Hermetic philosophy is based are as follows. 1. The principle of mentalism. 2. The principle of correspondence. 3. The principle of vibration. 4. The principle of polarity. 5. The principle of rhythm. 6. The principle of cause and effect. 7. The principle of gender. These seven principles will be discussed and explained as we proceed with these lessons. A short explanation of each, however, may be given at this point. 1. The principle of mentalism. The all is mind. The universe is mental. The Kabbalion. This principle embodies the truth that all is mind. It explains that the all, which is the substantial reality underlying all the outward manifestations and appearances which we know under the terms of the material universe, the phenomena of life, matter, energy, and, in short, all that is apparent to our senses, is spirit, which in itself is unknowable and undefinable, but which may be considered and thought of as a universal infinite living mind. It also explains that all the phenomenal world or universe is simply a mental creation of the all, subject to the laws of created things, and that the universe as a whole and in its parts or units has its existence in the mind of the all, in which mind we live and move and have our being. This principle explains the true nature of energy, power, and matter, and why and how all these are subordinate to the mastery of mind. One of the old Hermetic masters wrote long ages ago, "He who grasps the truth of the mental nature of the universe is well advanced on the path to mastery." 2. The principle of correspondence. As above, so below. As below, so above. The Kybalion. This principle embodies the truth that there is always a correspondence between the laws and phenomena of the various planes of being and life. The old Hermetic axiom ran in these words, "As above, so below, as below, so above." And the grasping of this principle gives one the means of solving many a dark paradox and hidden secret of nature. There are planes beyond our knowing, but when we apply the principle of correspondence to them, we are able to understand much that would otherwise be unknowable to us. This principle is of universal application and manifestation on the various planes of the material, mental, and spiritual universe. It is a universal law. 3. The principle of vibration. Nothing rests. Everything moves. Everything vibrates. The Kybalion. This principle embodies the truth that everything is in motion, everything vibrates, nothing is at rest, facts which modern science endorses and which each new scientific discovery tends to verify. From the all, which is pure spirit, down to the grossest form of matter, all is in vibration. The higher the vibration, the higher the position in the scale. The vibration of spirit is at such an infinite rate of intensity and rapidity that it is practically at rest, just as a rapidly moving wheel seems to be motionless. At the other end of the scale, there are gross forms of matter whose vibrations are so low as to seem at rest. Between these poles are millions upon millions of varying degrees of vibration. From corpuscle and electron, atom and molecule, to worlds and universes, everything is in vibratory motion. An understanding of this principle, with the appropriate formulas, enables Hermetic students to control their own mental vibrations as well as those of others. The masters also apply this principle to the conquering of natural phenomena in various ways. He who understands the principle of vibration has grasped the scepter of power, says one of the old writers. 4. The principle of polarity. Everything is dual. Everything has poles. Everything has its pair of opposites. Like and unlike are the same. Opposites are identical in nature, but different in degree. Extremes meet. All truths are but half-truths. All paradoxes must be reconciled. The Kybalion. This principle embodies the truth that everything is dual, everything has two poles, everything has its pair of opposites, all of which were old Hermetic axioms. It explains the old paradoxes that have perplexed so many, which have been stated as follows. Thesis and antithesis are identical in nature, but different in degree. Opposites are the same, differing only in degree. The pairs of opposites may be reconciled. Extremes meet. Everything is and isn't at the same time. All truths are but half-truths, etc. It explains that in everything there are two poles or opposite aspects, and that opposites are really only the two extremes of the same thing, with many varying degrees between them. To illustrate, heat and cold, although opposites, are really the same thing, the differences consisting merely of degrees. Look at your thermometer and see if you can discover where heat terminates and cold begins. There is no such thing as absolute heat or absolute cold. The two terms simply indicate varying degrees of the same thing, and that same thing that manifests as heat and cold is merely a form, variety, and rate of vibration. The same principle manifests in the case of light and darkness, which are the same thing, the difference consisting of varying degrees between the two poles of the phenomena. What is the difference between large and small, between hard and soft, between black and white, between sharp and dull, between noise and quiet, between high and low, between positive and negative? The principle of polarity explains these paradoxes, and no other principle can supersede it. The same principle operates on the material plane. Let us take a radical and extreme example, that of love and hate, two mental states apparently totally different. And yet, there are degrees of love and degrees of hate, and a middle point in which we use the terms like or dislike, which shade into each other so gradually that sometimes we are at a loss to know whether we like or dislike or neither. All are simply degrees of the same thing, as you will see if you will but think a moment. And more than this, and considered of more importance by the Hermetists, it is possible to change the vibrations of hate to the vibrations of love in one's own mind and in the minds of others. Many of you who read these lines have had personal experiences of the involuntary rapid transition from love to hate, and the reverse, in your own case and that of others. And you will therefore realize the possibility of this being accomplished by the use of the will, by the means of the Hermetic formulas. Good and evil are but the poles of the same thing, and the Hermetist understands the art of transmuting evil into good by means of an application of the principle of polarity. In short, the art of polarization becomes a phase of mental alchemy known and practiced by the ancient and modern Hermetic masters. An understanding of the principle will enable one to change his own polarity as well as that of others, if he will devote the time and study necessary to master the art. 5. The principle of rhythm. Everything flows out and in. Everything has its tides. All things rise and fall. The pendulum swing manifests in everything. The measure of the swing to the right is the measure of the swing to the left. Rhythm compensates. The Kybalion. This principle embodies the truth that in everything there is manifested a measured motion to and fro, a flow and inflow, a swing backward and forward, a pendulum-like movement, a tide-like ebb and flow, a high tide and low tide, between the two poles which exist in accordance with the principle of polarity described a moment ago. There is always an action and a reaction, an advance and a retreat, a rising and a sinking. The Hermetists have grasped this principle, finding its universal application, and have also discovered certain means to overcome its effects in themselves by the use of the appropriate formulas and methods. They apply the mental law of neutralization. They cannot annul the principle or cause it to cease its operation, but they have learned how to escape its effects upon themselves to a certain degree, depending upon the mastery of the principle. They have learned how to use it instead of being used by it. The master of Hermetics polarizes himself at the point at which he desires to rest, and then neutralizes the rhythmic swing of the pendulum which would tend to carry him to the other pole. All individuals who have attained any degree of self-mastery do this to a certain degree, more or less unconsciously. But the master does this consciously and by the use of his will, and attains a degree of poise and mental firmness almost impossible of belief on the part of the masses who are swung backward and forward like a pendulum. 6. The principle of cause and effect. Every cause has its effect. Every effect has its cause. Everything happens according to law. Chance is but a name for law not recognized. There are many planes of causation, but nothing escapes the law. The Kybalion. This principle embodies the
sample complete. Ready to continue?